brand new high-resolution model data shows this system moving in faster. How much rain and wind we will see, and which day this weekend we took out the rain icon.
Then, a crisis inside juvenile detention centers.
80 kids are having to sleep on day room floors.
WRAL examines why we're seeing facilities filled over capacity with young people and historic understaffing in North Carolina. Plus, preventing the next pandemic. See how a local nonprofit is taking action now to protect you and your family in the future.
I know this time of year, our days are getting a little bit shorter. The sun sets a little earlier, but how about this live look from Ocracoke tonight? Picture perfect. Looks gorgeous along our coast and here in the Triangle. Right now, though, we do have our eye closely on this system that could bring a tropical storm, force winds to our area beaches, and some rain to our area. Thank you for joining us tonight, being with us. I'm Dan Haggerty. We have a satellite view you see here. This is the system we're talking about. Still in the process of developing at this hour. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Severe Weather Center tracking all of it. This could spin up pretty fast this weekend, Kat.
And that's why we want to give you advance notice. It is not out of the question that we could have a tropical storm or a subtropical storm that hits North Carolina's coast on Saturday. So this is something worth watching. Whether or not it gets a name, the impacts that we're forecasting really remain the same. The National Hurricane Center giving it about a 40% chance of developing into something tropical. However, at 8 o'clock, there's a decent chance that that chance may go up. So check in with Mike tonight. We're starting to see this system come together. It's still not organized. There's not a center of low pressure yet, but we'll see it continue to organize over the next 48 hours. As for the arrival of the rain, we've seen the arrival timeline speed up throughout the day today, with rain set to arrive in eastern North Carolina by Friday morning, perhaps a few light showers here locally. The rain really filling in for us in central North Carolina throughout the day on Friday. And we've got the wind to deal with as well. I'll have a closer look at when the heaviest rain arrives and when some of the strongest winds move in coming up.
Yeah, sounds good, Kat. We'll talk to you then. This next story is one I really want you to pay attention to. We've been reporting on the violent crime on the rise among young people. But we've also learned now our juvenile detention centers dealing with it across the state are in crisis. They are overcrowded and they are understaffed. It is so serious that 80 kids per night are sleeping on the floor, if you can believe it. The state is also dealing with high vacancy rates, sitting right now at about 36%. That includes the youth counselors that help children to rehabilitate. WRL's Chelsea Donovan has the details.
We're here at the Wake County Regional Juvenile Detention Center where they can hold 24 teenagers. But today, there's six teenagers over capacity. That means six juveniles will have to be sleeping on the floor. This is ringing true at every one of these facilities in the state. And the problem I learned today is not just about overcrowding, but juvenile justice has the highest vacancy rate within DPS.
There are 13 juvenile detention facilities in our state. All of them are over capacity.
80 kids are having to sleep on day room floors.
Have you seen a problem or a vacancy rate like this before?
Never. Never. Never in my career. I've been doing this for 25 years.
Not only are the facilities overcrowded, but the Department of Juvenile Justice has the highest vacancy rate out of all NCDPS departments.
We're seeing startling vacancy rates in the juvenile justice system of 37% overall vacancy rate in the juvenile justice system and almost a 50% vacancy rate in our facilities.
Not only are they lacking in jailers to keep the facilities secure, but one of the most startling vacancy rates within the system, according to Lassiter, is that of the youth behavioral counselors. These are folks who aim to help these kids stay out of the system.
These are the staff that are employed to make sure our kids that have made a bad mistake, we can turn them around.
Lassiter didn't shy away from why they have this historic vacancy rate.
I think it's pay. Simply put, we're paying people in the juvenile justice system are starting out at $35,000 a year.
With juvenile crime up 21% last year and violent crimes up 24%, Lassiter is concerned this problem will continue if they cannot find innovative ways to attract the help that they need.
You look at the numbers and you think, why is juvenile crime going up? I think it's because we don't have the people on the front lines to stop it right now.
And Lassiter says they're in the process of building three new juvenile detention facilities that can hold 100 people. The problem, though, remains the same. They have no one to run them or staff them. Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Schools in Chapel, in Orange County, I should say, and Chapel Hill, Carbondale City, our city schools are up to date right now on their safety plans and security. That's according to a report by the Safety Task Force reviewed by leaders just tonight, last night. The task force found both districts and law enforcement followed the best practices recommended by the North Carolina Center for Safer Schools. The report did not include what additional steps, though, could be taken to enhance safety. An off-duty Dunn police officer was shot at a Cumberland County gas station after witnessing an apparent domestic dispute and then intervening. Investigators say this all happened here at the Exxon on Ramsey Street overnight. When the woman ran for help, the officer fired a weapon, and then the man returned fire, hitting the officer. That man is in critical condition, and police say the officer is in the hospital but doing well. There are new numbers out today. They show COVID-19 is not spreading as much as it has been in previous months. Respiratory illnesses are making a smaller percentage of the emergency visits, under 8% at this point. And while visits with those COVID-like issues have decreased, we can't say flu-like symptoms went up a bit. COVID in wastewater dropped 11.4% after steadily increasing for months. Still higher than our January numbers, something experts are going to continue to monitor. Health experts are turning their focus to preventing the next pandemic. That's what a local nonprofit wants to do by developing antiviral drugs for the next time. WRL's Destiny Patterson is in Chapel Hill, where the work is underway now to protect us in the future.
It's been more than 3 years since the world shut down as COVID-19 infected millions of people. Well, today, a group of health leaders inside these doors say that they are preparing now so that doesn't happen again. You remember the masks, the social distancing, the uncertainty.
The terror of the patient, the exhaustion and overwhelmed sense of these healthcare providers.
This group of health leaders say they don't want a repeat.
What we saw was a reaction to a global health threat.
That's where the rapidly emerging antiviral drug development initiative comes in, or READY. The nonprofit rooted at UNC Chapel Hill is focused on developing antiviral drugs. Its goal is to prevent severe illness, hospitalization, and death the next time a virus spreads.
It's not a miracle, it's science.
CEO Jimmy Rosen says the biotechnology company already has molecules that can be used to make medication. In contrast to the vaccine, these researchers say these meds can be shipped without the same preservation challenges and swallowed with a glass of water.
It's about the marathon of preparedness before that day zero.
They say it's about having all the necessary tools, and that means medication must be available when the next pandemic comes around. Of course, all of this comes with a price tag. The CEO says the nonprofit needs at least $35 million with an ultimate goal of $100 million. Destiny Patterson, WRL News, Chapel Hill.
And next week, you'll be able to get another round of those free COVID tests from the federal government. Today, health officials announced they are relaunching that free at-home test program. You may remember they sent out more than 755 million of them first time around. The program was suspended then back in May, but with more people expected to catch COVID in the winter months, they are sending them out again. You can order 4 free tests from covidtests.gov starting next Monday. There's a pharmaceutical company in the Triangle developing a nasal spray to treat severe allergic reactions. Raleigh-based Bryn Pharma is working on a needle-free alternative to injections like the EpiPen. The company recently raised millions from investors, and they hired a new CEO to spearhead submitting this spray to the FDA for consideration. We should say just yesterday, the FDA decided not to approve a similar EpiPen alternative device from another pharmaceutical company, calling for more research. It would have been the first of its kind. State lawmakers will vote tomorrow on a long overdue state budget. This $30 billion plan was just released to the public in the last few hours. We've been leafing through it. We do know it includes raises for teachers and state employees about 7% over the next 2 years. It also includes some small additional cuts in the state income tax rate on top of some cuts that were already scheduled to happen. House Speaker Tim Moore says Republican caucus prioritizes putting money back in people's pockets. And we also have in the break a live look of a stunning sunset over the Capitol building.
Well, the tax cuts are some significant tax cuts. If you look at the tax burden right now in North Carolina, it is the lowest it has been in any of our lifetimes.
Meantime, state employees say the raises won't be big enough to solve the sky-high vacancy rate in state government. One in five state jobs is unfilled at the moment. The state retirees also get a one-time bonus of 4%, but no permanent cost of living increases. This draft of the budget is more than 600 pages long, and buried in it, we found something interesting. Language that would let lawmakers decide what a public record is. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about this potential change with WRAL's Travis Fain. Plus, planning for the future of our parks and greenways in Raleigh. It's taking shape right now. How your family can be part of that conversation coming up. There is a small change that slipped into the state's new 625-page budget that would leave it up to state lawmakers to be the ones to decide what records their office keeps as public and which ones they can just destroy. The state's Open Government Coalition saying that this language is, quote, essentially exempts the General Assembly from the Public Records Act. That's the state law that reporters and pretty much anyone else can use to get a hold of public documents, and state legislators would not have to live under it. You saw him just a second ago. We had him popped up. WRAL state government reporter Travis Fain has been following this today. Travis, again, this is something that was just put into the budget. I know everyone's trying to figure out exactly the questions to ask surrounding this, but is this change as significant as it seems?
Oh, absolutely. I run this by multiple lawyers today, and they say it is a blanket exemption from the State Open Records Act for lawmakers. Once this becomes law, and that's probably a matter of weeks, if not days, if you ask to read your state legislators' emails or see documents they've collected as part of their job, they can just say no. The language in this budget, which we saw again for the first time today, it's clear. It says they, quote, shall not be required to reveal those documents.
And now, I can think of about a million and one reasons as to why this would be a bad idea. Of course, journalists and everyone else use these public records requests as a checks and balance measure for government, often to keep corruption in check. But what was the reason by lawmakers to do this and to put this in place?
We didn't get a ton of justification for it. Speaker of the House, Tim Moore, he's head of the Republican majority. Republicans control the state house down here. He said they wanted to clear up ambiguity in the existing law. Right now, some documents that lawmakers have are protected. For example, bill drafts before the actual bill is filed. That's protected. Some lawmakers really think that privilege is wider than it really is in state law, and they act like it. They'll deny you records, but if you push them on it, you can get them. The law as it stands today, this moment, it allows the public to get these things. And this is going to definitely simplify that, as the Speaker of the House said, and say that if a lawmaker doesn't want to provide them, they don't have to. And like you said, kind of a problem for open government advocates, reporters, anyone in the public who wants to keep tab on lawmakers through the Open Records Act.
It just really seems like something that could obviously be misused. Travis, we know you're still asking questions about this. Thank you for your reporting on it tonight. And again, this is just one piece of our in-depth coverage of the state budget that our NC Capitol team has provided as this budget has evolved, and it has been evolving for a while now. You'll find it all in the NC Capitol section of WRAL.com.
Dan, following some breaking news right now in the WRAL Live Center from our tower camera, we can see where Raleigh firefighters are out. This is at an apartment complex right off of Champion Court, not too far from Avon Ferry and Western Boulevard. Again, this is from our tower camera looking down, the camera just across the street from NC State. So this is a pretty big apartment complex right there. We're believed to have been told that this was now under control. It was a kitchen fire. We think all of that's still under investigation, waiting for true confirmation from police and firefighters, but quite a large scene here this evening. Dan.
All right. Thank you, Mark. You've probably noticed as you've been driving around, stopping at the pump, gas prices, they're heading back up. They're on the rise again. Nationwide, the average for a gallon, $3.87. That's the highest we have seen since last October. Here in North Carolina, about $3.50 right now. You can find cheaper gas in Fayetteville, $3.45 there. In Raleigh, a little more than the state average at $3.53 a gallon. For the first time in a decade, Raleigh is updating its plan for parks and greenways in the city, and you can get involved if you'd like right now. The city is hosting a workshop at John Chavis Memorial Park until 8 o'clock, and this is just the first opportunity to come out and share your thoughts for what the future of the parks and trails should look like as they make these plans. The last parks plan was done in 2014, so it's been a bit. Since then, the city added 226 acres of parks and greenways, and the pandemic put a focus on the need for open spaces close to home. It helps us think more broadly about parks in general, right? Yes, they're amenities, they're nice to have, but we think they're also essential infrastructure, essential parts of what a city is.
Absolutely. Raleigh's goal is for everyone to have access to the park system within a 10-minute walk. There will be more of these workshops if you missed tonight across the city. They're going to be going on for the next 6 months or so. A final parks plan is expected to go city to city council for approval next summer. So you have some time to weigh in if you'd like. And we know this area values its parks and its green spaces. And we've had just perfect weather to deal with that over the past couple of days. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. We do have a little rain on the horizon, but man, we've been lucky lately.
We have been. You know, you've got one more night to enjoy this nice weather. Take a look at White Lake from the Grand Regal. I mean, it is a beautiful evening, a stunning sunset out over White Lake tonight. Tonight, nice weather. Tomorrow, still mostly dry. Things really begin to turn as we head into Friday, though you're going to see a lot more cloud cover out there tomorrow. Friday's high, only 75. That comes with cloudy skies, increasing rain chances Friday. That's one of the big changes I mentioned off the top of the newscast. Rain looks like it's moving in a little faster, sticks around Saturday, and Saturday's even cooler and even more windy. We're talking about a sustained wind Saturday of about 25 miles per hour. Sunday, though, there are improvements. The rain arrives faster on Friday. It also exits faster, so we're down to about a 20% chance for rain on Sunday. If we look at futurecast for Friday morning, can't rule out a few spotty showers. That chance is going to be increasing midday into the afternoon. Notice, though, we're mainly looking at light green. It is going to take some time for the rain to reach the ground. We've got pretty dry air in place right now, so we're going to have to see that moisture filling in. I think it's going to be mainly light rain. I don't think that we'll see any thunderstorms during the day Friday. Friday night, though, the intensity of the rain may begin to pick up. So just a heads up, some heavier rain will be possible late Friday night and into the start of Saturday. That is when we also have the potential for some localized flooding. This is as far out as futurecast goes right now. Meteorologist Mike Mays will have a new run-in tonight that he'll show you at 10 and 11 that's going to go out a little bit farther into the day on Saturday. The flooding risk for Friday night into Saturday morning is in that scattered category from Raleigh, Fayetteville, points east. I think that the greater threat is going to be at the coast, where there's going to be more than 2 inches of rain possible for the areas in red and orange. In our viewing area, you've got a big difference from west to east. The western part of our viewing area, you know, it's closer to a half to maybe 1 inch of rain from Raleigh, points west. East of Raleigh, we could see more of that 1 to 2 inch zone, but we could see this shift around and notice these little lines that separate, you know, the different rainfall totals. They're pretty narrow, so any small shift is really going to adjust those numbers. This is why I encourage you to keep checking in for updates. We have a huge spread of just how much rain would fall. There's more confidence on when we would see the rain and the wind as opposed to just how much rain would add up. And that's why we want to be open and let you know we're still ironing out that part of the forecast. Tomorrow, still dry during the day. We've got more clouds out there. A warmer start with temperatures in the 60s during the morning, but not as warm during the afternoon. We're still in the lower 80s, so it's still a nice day tomorrow. But there will be some noticeable changes, one of which, of course, being the clouds. Friday and Saturday both look pretty windy. The winds ramp up Friday night into the first half of the day Saturday. That's when we see the strongest winds with gusts to around 35 miles per hour. Sunday, things quiet down. The wind quiets down. The rain looks like it's going to clear out. So you may be able to salvage the end of your weekend, Dan.
You know, as long as we get one day, I think we'll be all right. Kat, thank you. A local animal shelter has reached capacity once again. They need your help. Coming up, there's an urgent plea from Cumberland County Animal Services. They need to find homes for hundreds of pets. The Cumberland County Animal Shelter is full right now, and they're hoping that you could help with that. From now until September 26th, adoption fees will be waived for dogs older than 6 months old and weighing over 30 pounds, as well as cats. Right now, there are 151 cats and 160 dogs there that need homes. Three of the dogs are nursing litters of puppies as well and need temporary foster homes. Anyone looking to adopt can donate pet food instead if adoption isn't something you can do. If you want to rescue a pet, the shelter is open Monday through Friday from 11 until 5:30 in the afternoon and Saturday from 1 to 5. Fall is right around the corner. The weather's going to start feeling more and more fall-like. That means pumpkin patches, haunted houses, hay rides. It's that time of year. WREL is, we're going to try and make it easier for you to find and plan those
those fall outings across our area with your family. Most pumpkin patches and corn mazes open this weekend, so get online and look now. You can find them in Raleigh, Garner, Fuquay, Verena, just to name a few places in our area. WREL has your guide for fall seasonal fun. We've compiled a database. There are more than 50 farms on there and pumpkin patches, other venues across the region, all on our website, WREL.com. Be sure also to watch our Tar Heel Traveler special tonight at 7:30. Scott Mason and photojournalist Sean Braswell take us up and down the coast. They're featuring the state's many lighthouses and telling the fascinating stories of those structures that have dotted our coast for centuries. Also, right after that, we're going to find out if the 82nd Airborne Division All-American Chorus moves on to the next round of America's Got Talent.
I am here. Hey. I am here. Huh. All of this is wrong, but I'm still right here.
Right.
I don't have the answers, but the question is clear. Let me ask you.
They sound like winners, you know, if you ask me. The chorus there performing I Am Here by Pink. This was the first live performance that they did on AGT, and they crushed it. They did really well. And this is, again, trying to win $1 million, which would be absolutely amazing. But just like the first time that they did their kind of their audition, their debut, they had the entire room on their feet, the audience, the judges, everybody giving them a standing ovation. They then got glowing reviews from the panel, which is a good sign, right? Only two, though, of the 11 acts actually make it to the finals and get a chance at winning that $1 million. But you can tune in at 8 o'clock right here on WREL. Wish them luck. Cross your fingers. We'll see if they can advance to the finals. Thanks for making WREL your choice for local news. Our next newscast, 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock right here on WREL. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.